It's the greatest automotive podcast in the known world. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, your host, Steve Johann, the producer, and our guest this week is Jason Engel. He'll be with us right after Steve goes back to the blacktop with the news in 90 seconds.
Buckle your seatbelts because here we go. American automakers will be getting a shot of cash by the Biden administration, who has set aside $174 billion for electric vehicle infrastructure. Chip shortages continue to challenge new car makers, causing GM and Ford executives to sit down at the same table with Joe Biden in an attempt to hammer out possible solutions. Broncos maybe get their own new showroom space at a Ford dealership near you, coming soon. Hemming's weekly highlight is a fully restored purple Honda CT70 Trail 70 set to sell for about $5,000. I can't believe it. China auto sales continue to surge for the 12th consecutive month of gains, and Jeep is offering a limited-to-Texas-only Gladiator pickup called the Texas Trail, featuring specific set of equipment and appearance package. And lastly, we want to say happy 30th anniversary to Hennessy, the company that helps car owners make their new cars go faster. And that's a wrap for this week's News in 90 Seconds.
Coming up on the Windshield View, Jason Engel is next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Like what you hear? Then subscribe and share.
Hey, baby, it's Little Daddy Ross, straight out of Rossville, California. I'm here to sell you some Metal Flake and listen to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, baby. Come on.
Hey, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back for the first half of the Windshield View. This week, we are welcoming Jason Engel with Classic Recreations. Hi, Jason. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm Ron Foreman. Glad to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So I have my first question is, when you were 16 and you started building your first car, what did you do between then and the time that you built the car that you sold at Barrett Jackson? I mean, were you a subcontractor? Were you a construction worker? What exactly did you do in between that time?
As a teenager, one of the focal points of the talents that I have now come from Votech. I was really big into Votech. It's a vocational part of high school that, you know, at first I jumped into Votech simply because it was a way for me to get out of school. But I really grabbed onto that. I found out that I was just really good working with my hands. That really was probably 80% of what I did from the time I was 16 till I was graduated out of high school, was fully concentrate on that. I was actually painting cars for the instructor there.
Nice.
Very cool. So Jason, I know you operate what seems to be two businesses, as I understand. One building replicant Mustangs out of carbon fiber and the other a traditional restoration shop. How much of your business comes from the restoration versus the Mustang side?
You know, that's a good question. I'm going to give that a 50-50, really. The restorations we started about 5 years ago, and it really has accelerated tremendously simply because there's so many basket cases out there, right? You know, guys that just can't find a shop to do the car.
Right.
Really, guys, I'm going to say that's about a 50-50, back and forth with those two cars and in productions. Two completely different sides of the business, though.
You know, I know that, I mean, you're doing Mustangs, and it's kind of an obvious. Carroll Shelby certainly was an inspiration, I'm sure. You got his name all over your website, so I'm sure there's a cooperative, you know, agreement there. But have any of your cars appeared in, for example, the Ford versus Ferrari film or anything specific? Obviously, you post-date Bullitt, but you may have done a Bullitt repro at some point.
Right. So none of my cars were actually in Ford versus Ferrari. I will tell you, there's a pretty big history with Shelby and I. I have the most respect for Carroll personally, and had since a child. I was a big fan of his even growing up. I loved Le Mans as a kid. I watched that stuff. I don't know really why, because my father wasn't having his influence in these cars, and why it's so important is if we look at this 67 GT500, which is, you know, good Lord, guys, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But if you look at the styling cues of that car, man, they're still using those styling cues today.
Iconic.
It's crazy. And he was a businessman and a really good one. He always had a famous saying of, you know, he put the right people in the right place. Yep. He was a race car driver. He just wanted to go fast. You know, and
yep.
For me, it's to get into this shortly, but for me, I kind of fell into, really, I'm a car builder, man. I wouldn't consider myself a corporate person that understands that side, but I've learned a lot about it, obviously. But I'm a car builder, and I put the right people in the right place. I kind of took his advice. I was very fortunate to be a part of his life before he passed away, and learned a lot from him. So
that's cool.
Really, truly why I implement a lot of that into our business. I'm a big fan.
So he's a character builder for you.
Yes, sir.
That's cool. So I understand that you're going to be starting the Cobra 69 Camaro now. Is that going to be a carbon fiber car as well? And are you going to use the classic 327 or 427 in those?
They'll be steel on the Camaro. They're more than likely going to be all LS3s, and then have the option of the LSX and LS7. I'm trying to really implement modern technology into the cars we build now. That is my position in the business, is design and engineering. And I really, really, really am pushing hard into modern drivelines into the vintage cars we build today.
That's pretty cool. Do you have a timeline when the first one will be ready for sale? Or?
Well, we've released a Camaro, the CR1. We did that a while back. And then we're revamping the car now. I would assume sometime in January, February next year.
Right on.
Excellent. Well, that kind of dovetails what I was going to ask. When you're doing a limited manufacturing, like your Mustang models, all of those, how do you get them licensed, and how do you go through that rigmarole? Because we've talked to other small manufacturers, and they've told us their story. Tell us how you get that down there in Texas.
So, in order to obtain a Shelby license was probably the hardest thing for our business that we've ever had to do. You got to prove yourself, man. I mean, it's pretty much, I don't know how to put this, but, you know, showing up at SEMA with a beautiful car, meeting them. They are, interestingly enough, with other licensors that I've worked with in the past, Shelby is so different. It's like a family, and I mean that. It's really, really cool. You've got to get to know them and build trust in them, and know that you're going to build a quality product, and they, you know, they do that. We showed ourselves many times in different quality of products that we have come out with, which I believe, you know, builds trust in some of these vendors to license you.
Excellent.
You know, it's. I mean, like you say, Shelby and some of the other big names as well, they're kind of family people, maybe not as much as Shelby, but it's, if you're going to marry into that situation, I can see where you really have to, you know, kind of walk the walk, not just talk the talk. But you do a lot of other kinds of recreations as well. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, coming up, you had your first car when you were very young, and you clearly had an aptitude for, you know, this kind of, I like your term, recreations, as opposed to restorations.
Yeah.
But you must have other building and fabbing, you know, heroes or influences. Tell me about some of them.
I would say my biggest influence besides Carroll Shelby himself would be Troy Tippania.
Okay.
Rad Rides by Troy. I am just mesmerized as a builder at the quality of metalwork that they, it's just incredible. I've looked at a lot of other builds, and I'm highly respect those guys. I mean, there are some awesome builders out here, But when you look at somebody that can metalwork something like he can, if I ever know he's bringing a car to SEMA, it's really funny. We run into each other and about New Mexico every year, and I follow him all the way to SEMA. I don't think he even knows. He probably thinks I'm stalking him. But I if I know he has a car there, my wife and I, we immediately run to his car first.
That's great. Well, it's, you know, it's a very specific kind of art form, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you know, not everybody can do metal work at that level. I mean, anybody can weld, I shouldn't say anybody, incredible. But you know, it's seriously realizing a mental picture in metal. It's not something that just everybody can do, which is why I guess it's, you know, justifiably fairly expensive. And you do some fairly high end builds.
Yes, sir. I do. Yeah. You know, I went to SEMA 1 year. I'll never forget this. He built I believe it's a Challenger. It's been probably 5 years ago or more. And he had built the whole thing out of metal, you know, custom all of the cars from some really cool outside accents and floor, but he ground it down and cleared it. So you knew there was not a drop of mud in that car. It was just, wow.
That's impressive.
Very impressive. Yeah, this stuff impresses me.
Cool. So can you, we have a tip question, mm-hmm. That we try to ask people. I want to talk to you a little bit about your cable driven clutch and why mm-hmm. that's a really good idea.
Yes. So, you know, it's so funny you asked that because I catch so much malarkey from different people. I want a hydraulic clutch. I want a hydraulic clutch. Here's the simplicity of a cable. A, it's adjustable. So your pedals, you can adjust up and down, which you can't do with a hydraulic unless I guess you've got your Heim joint. You might be able to play with that. But the great thing about a cable with a pendulum that we kind of like a Fox body, you know, clutch. Mm-hmm. It's simple. It works. And then if the customer say the cable stretches or, you know, whatever, you got to adjust it. He literally just turns a knob on the firewall. That's why I use it. It works. It's simple. It will not leak and blow hydraulic fluid all over your clutch.
Yep. And then you're
done.
You
don't have to bleed it for 17 hours.
all been
We've
there.
All been down that road.
This is the laugh of pain. We've all been there.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And I actually get customers. It's funny you asked that question, which kind of shocks me. But I have customers ask me, why would you? But once they have it, they're like, oh, wow. Yeah. Because it works, man. It's simple. I've used that clutch cable, it's kind of funny, since 2007.
Nice.
Same manufacturer.
Nice. Right on. Hey, Jason, we got just a second before the end of the break. Steve's got a question coming up after, but what's the most rewarding part of your job?
The most rewarding part of my job would be designing and innovating a product and then watching it come to fruition. It's pretty incredible. I find that extremely gratifying.
Nice.
Cool.
The Windshield View, we'll be right back with more from Jason Engel here on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
If you enjoy Horsepower Chrome and Rust, be sure to share us with your friends.
Oh, come on, guys. I got to go home and think of something funny. Well, the best I can do is, hi, this is Jeff from Cruising Northwest. Thank you for listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Hey, does that rhyme?
It's the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. We're back to our conversation with Jason Engel. So, what, Jason, one of the things I had to ask you about is I talked with Abigail, who's your front person, and uh-huh. I was talking to her about you brought in some partners to expand your business. You've got three brothers, which I find this is a very unique story in of itself.
It
they've come from a different background. They're business guys. How did you formulate a business partnership with the guys, and what are their names, and what are their roles?
It's I will tell you, it's like a gem finding this, but so I'll answer a couple of the questions in a row here. Their names are Raymond Stone, Brian Stone, and Jeff Stone. They came from ServPro, and interestingly enough, which is hard to find, Raymond has the financial background of the business. He was a CFO. Then you have Brian, which is the marketing director. And then you have Jeff with the CEO skills of management training and all those things that I don't want to do. So all three of those things I just mentioned, I don't want to do.
That's smart.
And they come from that. It's craziest thing you've ever seen. But what I did, my father was at an age to retire. We called a local business broker. He came out and he was just blown away with what we had, you know, how we built this. And he said, well, let me list it for you. And we listed it, and that's how I met him. Wow. It was really interesting. Raymond came up, and the first meeting, they were ready to devil in, which allowed my father to retire.
Nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
Well, I know that you know, we've talked a little bit about what you do, and of course, we're putting your website, your you know, information up so that people could find it on our Facebook page. But you know, the whole idea of recreations, you don't do just Mustangs. Of course, you do all kinds of different cars. I can't imagine that you have not had someone ask you for a repro of the Bullet Mustang at some point. But aside from that, and you can hit that if you want to. What's the toughest build you guys have ever done?
Man, toughest build we've ever done. We had a Boss 429 that we built. And have you ever seen those new Holley screens for dashes? You can use the whole screen. You can set up the gauges on them.
Oh, right.
TV screens.
The LED ones? So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This was crazy. We had to French him into the dash on the passenger and driver's side. He wanted two of them. Had an Alcantara headliner with that starliner thing. Looks like stars.
Yeah.
Lights up. And then he wanted it painted in the interior to match his helicopter.
Of course he did.
Of course.
And why wouldn't you? That's a lot of work.
That car was a wiring disaster. Oh, and also it was a 10-speed automatic.
Wow.
Sure. You have hot and cold running scotch and stuff too.
Oh, one more button it had. It had power windows and it had an electric shifter. So basically on the floor, you know, on the console, just touched drive, touched park. Oh my God. That one was probably the roughest car, for us, all the custom work.
Do I dare ask how long that build took?
About 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And how much of that was running into the back room and screaming into a pillow?
Oh my gosh, man. Making the dash. I'll never forget it.
So I have a question on the lighter, side, Jason. What were the kind of toys that you had to play with that got you interested in getting into cars and having fun with that? Not with the guy with the toys that you're just talking about with the helicopter and this car with the 10 speeds. But on the lighter side, what kind of cars and toys did you grow up with to get you excited about building them?
So I'm pretty rotten, so I'm just going to get it out there. I've had, and I'm not kidding, probably over 100 cars in my life. My first car I ever had was a 78 Camaro. My father traded for it. He was in the car business, the used car business.
Got it.
It had a 283 in it out of a truck.
So it was a performance vehicle.
Cast iron transmission, I'm sure.
Yes. Power glide?
It was, man, guys, I have never in my life laughed so hard. I couldn't find the pulleys for it, so I went to the salvage yard. It's called Riverside here in Oklahoma City, and it is just a hole in the wall, and found a 283 and ripped the pulleys off of it. We got it running, and I had 5 acres of land. At the time, I was 13, and I was Dukes of Hazzard out there.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what you do.
All right.
Yep. Oh, that is funny.
That's good stuff.
So when I looked at the carbon fiber, and you've done that, in your Mustangs, this is a side thing. My son was pointing out that Ford actually built hemp-bodied cars before the government came in and said no. And it was like totally indestructible. It was like the pre-carbon fiber. And I thought, hemp's becoming legal again. Have you ever thought about even going into that direction because it's a completely different composite. But it's like a plastic. It ends up being a plastic when they finish working with it.
Yes. Yes, we have, actually. There's some things in the works we're working on now. You ever heard of forged carbon?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We're eyeballing that right now as well. You know, with the exposed weave we're doing now in the whole entire car, to get the patterns to match up, my hood to fender, fender to door, door to quarter, that all matches. It's not easy.
Wow.
No. It is, you know, it's not a simple task to make that all line up, but we're looking at that. We're looking at some other innovative ways to make a lighter car as well.
Cool. Well, I cannot imagine custom fabbing something like that and trying to get all that stuff to match up. Just a quick side, a buddy of mine's got a 68 Chevy pickup long bed, and he took the hood off to paint the firewall, and it took us all weekend to get that thing back on. And that's just, it was simple. You know? I can't imagine.
It's crazy, man. I mean, you guys would be amazed. You know, when we put on a whole quarter, that quarter include roof rail, A and B, you've got it's a very intricate way that it's done. It's really cool.
Wow.
Steve?
Well, I'll grab another one here. What have been your biggest challenges in running your business? Because now you got some partners, but overall, and it sounds like your father was in on the very beginning. So what has been some of the biggest challenges you've had to face that you've also done some work throughs on?
Capital.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, you know, small business guys.
Yes.
Capital's been, you know, because I have all these wonderful ideas, you know, that I couldn't implement. That's been a big challenge for me. The other challenge is, how do you say, finding really good people. I'm very fortunate now, but over the years, it's been extremely tough to find, you know, qualified, talented technicians and fabricators. It's not easy to find. So I would say those are my two biggest hurdles.
Well, as long as we're talking about, you know, the economy and capitalization and that sort of thing, your builds are not, you know, inexpensive. It's a high-end sort of toy, and justifiably so. But, you know, over the last year, we've gone through Lord knows how many economic problems, and the virus and everything else has caused a lot of small businesses to fold up. You know, is the economy slowing down what you're doing? Are your customers sort of recession proof, or how's all that working out in your end of the biz?
You know, I believe we went through this in 2008, and we innovated during that time, and we prevailed. We all had a meeting when this pandemic hit, and we decided to go that same path again, is to innovate and create, and it has paid off for us.
Awesome.
I firmly believe that as long as we continue to innovate and be creative, I hate to say it, we don't really feel the pandemic. Where we feel it at, guys, is the parts flow coming in from the manufacturers.
Yes.
Sure. But as far as the actual consumer, you know, desiring and purchasing our product, we haven't felt that.
Nice.
Ron?
Well, I was just going to say I appreciate you taking the time to come talk to us today. And I'd like to go to SEMA sometime. I don't know how that would happen or how that does. Have you gone to SEMA every year that's been going on since you started?
Yes, sir, of course. I go there for two reasons. One, to show off what we have. And the second is to rub elbows with all the vendors. It's very important.
The white 2016 car that you brought down there, I saw the video of that. That is amazing.
Thank you.
The tub in the back with that that aluminum frame, that just blew my mind when I saw all that. I couldn't believe you did all that with one car, and everything you did was a gold.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can say that, having gone through your website, and we are going to put the link to the website on our page and everything along with the show, there are some amazing things in there. And my final question, I guess, is, you've already done such, you know, amazing work, some really creative stuff. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Where are you headed?
There you go.
You know, I go right back, guys, to innovation and creativity. For me, I see us in 10 years. I would like to have this, you know, we've expanded from Yukon, Oklahoma to Dallas. I see us in 10 years in bigger cities. You know, let's plop one down in L.A. Let's plop one down in Miami. Let's plop one down, you know, in the East Coast. That's where I see Classic Recreations in the future. Creativity, innovation, and in, you know, expanding our business into bringing our facilities into cities where they don't want to ship them to Dallas or Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, I can Jason, imagine.
We've got a couple more minutes, and I wanted to get a couple more questions in. Sure. I found one of your Mustangs on a Hemmings going for sale. And it was well over $100,000. They hadn't quite met the reserve. But that tells me a lot, because when people typically buy an aftermarket part build car like yours, you know, it can fluctuate the pricing. And when I see that, I'm like, you have a value. Your cars tend to hold their value. Talk to us about that, because that's an important aspect, I think, of somebody buying, but somebody thinking, well, if I need the money, I can sell. But talk to us about your that longevity factor with your
sure cars. So you know, for Classic Recreations, what we tried to do is we looked at other builders in the marketplace, and what we didn't want to do is we didn't want to compete. We wanted to create our own niche. So if you look at our, so like you said earlier, you look at some of these resto mods and they appreciate, I agree, but remember that builder built one, that was it. So if you have a car that we've manufactured for since 2009, okay, same Bisol 500 CR, it's actually developed its own value. People know what it's worth because they've been resold many times. They're out in the marketplace many times. We resell them for people. It sets a value, which in turn maintains a value, right? Wow. So it is a difference. It is a big difference than you look at a 500 CR, you're going to go, okay, I'm going to Google 500 CR. You're going to find us and you're going to see that we sell that same car for $284,000. But if you look at us at a 69 Camaro that's custom built by a really good shop, but beautiful, there's no way to determine a value. You don't know how, I mean, other than just taking averages. So, you know, I think that's what's helped us alongside having the Shelby brand and be able to boast that, hey, that car is in the Shelby registry. There's a huge value to that. I think that those two things have kept value for our cars. We're finding now that our cars in the aftermarket world, a few of them recently have brought more than retail. So, which is great news for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, just one final question. Do you guys hold any kind of special meetups for all your Mustang people?
You know, we're going to do that. And I'm glad you asked that. So with our new Dallas facility we just purchased, we'll be moving into that new facility. It's around 90,000 square feet. So we have a massive parking lot, and we're going to hold some cars and coffees there for the locals and, you know, and get to know everybody there. So, yes, we do full intend to. We don't right now, but we do full intend to within the next 12 months.
Excellent.
Cool.
Well, thanks so much for being on with us. This has been great.
Thanks for having
me. And we will post your website on our thing. And thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
This is the greatest automotive information shown in the known world. And a cool hot rod story is up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to RestoreYourCar.com. That's RestoreYourCar.com.
Hey, it's Hillary Nowak from Ink and Iron in Oakville, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We can't help you with the horsepower, but we can definitely help you with the chrome and rust.
It's time for Cars Confidential, and Brady has a really fun one this week.
This one's from Grins, Gears, and Gasoline, as so many of them are, thanks to Lance for his great books. This one's called Grins in the Garage. There's a lot of testosterone in this garage. Just look around. This comment was made by my friend and neighbor Karen when she walked into her garage and listened to the exchanges going on between her husband Joe and several of the neighborhood car guys. See, Joe had asked us to come over to help him place the newly painted Factory 5 Cobra body on the chassis of the car that he's been building for the past 3 years. Several things seem to happen whenever car guys get together. Joking and good-natured teasing begins. Then old stories are retold. And best of all, laughter fills the room. The right combination of participants usually results in a raging river of wit. Careful. A river of wit. 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 Or at least the perception by the participants that everybody in the room is incredibly witty. I'm not sure if Karen thought we were witty or just a bunch of Joe's friends being goofy. I think we were likely a combination of both, but I'm not sure that testosterone was the common ingredient. It was geritol. In my circle of friends, the most important goal at any gathering is to make others laugh. We will use all the laughter ammunition available, a good-natured tease or an insult here, a joke there. It plays on words, innuendos everywhere. It's why my friends have become my friends. Geritol.
Ted Mack and the original Amateur Hour.
The world Lance that Ever. I live in is immersed in the culture of the automobile. Most of my friends and associates are car guys. Most of my advice and activities come within the old car hobby kind of milieu. Who used a word like milieu? I make my living by producing and hosting a TV show about old cars. And I thank goodness I've married to a wonderful woman who encourages my passion for old cars. But are old cars the most important part of the hobby? No. It's the people and the laughter that make most car guy gatherings a comedy show. It's likely that golfers, square dancers, musicians, bowlers, and every other hobby community feels the same way. Laughter is the best medicine in this angry world, and everyone should consider taking every opportunity to be a pharmacist dispensing the medicine of laughter. So there we are, early on a Saturday morning, waiting for Joe's direction on how best to remove the Cobra body from the support stand, lift it over the chassis, and gently park it in place without scratching the shiny new black paint. Immediately, comments began flying. Shouldn't we have a few beers first? My back's been acting up, so I'll let you guys take care of this one. Where are the snacks? Shouldn't there be a table of snacks? Is this scratch supposed to be here? Hey, it's not my car, so what if it gets scratched? It's 10:30. It's time to break for lunch yet. I seem to recall we've had all of those things and more when we were out at Mike's place working on my car with Ron and the rest of the clowns.
Yep. Diarrhea.
Yeah. This incredibly high level of intellectual wit continued until the Cobra body was placed on the chassis and the common goal of helping Joe while making him and others laugh had been accomplished. Every wisecrack was delivered and received as a gift between friends. Karen was helping and laughing too, but perhaps her testosterone observation was incorrect. The definition of testosterone includes, among other things, used to prepare for confrontations.
Ooh.
And causes noticeable strength and aggressiveness.
Diarrhea.
I don't think that second thought is even necessary at this point. It's a great story. Lance has a bunch of them. So special thanks to Lance Lambert for his great books. They're available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and of course, even through the Vintage Vehicle Show website. Your bookshelf wouldn't be complete without them.
The Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is next, so put it in park and stick around.
If you like us on Facebook, you'll love us on YouTube. Make sure to like and subscribe.
This is Quentin Folk. I dig up old hot rods, and I also dig this podcast.
Welcome back to Around the Wheel and the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. Since we are doing our new format of the show, the question is actually pretty simple. We don't have a winner from last week, but this week's question is a tough one. What material are the pistons in most modern cars made of? If you know, Make sure you check our Facebook page for the winner for the trivia question every week. And if you think you know the answer to this question, email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com or go to the Facebook page and put your answer in there. We'll make sure to read your answer next week. If you're the right one, then you get your 8x10 color glossy certificate or Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust all for you. I want to thank our guest, Jason Engel, for being here tonight. Check out his website at classicrecreations.com. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is one of the top 10 car-themed podcasts on the net, and we thank you for that. Email the show at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com or message us on Facebook. Thanks for liking and following our website and our Facebook page. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Drive fast, take risks. Cruise on by next week for another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.